Good morning. Did you ever do anything or work on anything and you didn't see any results for a long time? Maybe you thought it was a waste of time, but then all of a sudden you did see results? I was having breakfast yesterday with a group of pastors. I got to talking with a couple of them that I didn't know real well. And then I discovered that both of them had dads who were pastors in the Hamilton area, and that 18 to 20 years ago, I worked with both of their dads on some ministry things that were starting to pay off now. And I was amazed because I had no clue that anything had come of what we had done years ago. I thought it pretty much was wasted effort, didn't see anything from it, but I was wrong. God used it, even though I didn't know it, even though I had no idea what was happening, I couldn't see it. And it was really a fresh reminder to me of the value of persevering and pressing on, even when we don't see the progress. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 27. This is the second week in our series called Don't Stop. It's based on the scripture from Hebrews 10. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. If you were here last week, we talked about how when you sometimes you can't even see God working around you, but He is always working within you. And because of that, you need to persevere until you finally see the promise of God. Even if you've been waiting a long time, even if you don't see any progress right now, God has a plan for how He will fulfill the promise in your life. And it might be right around the corner, but you will never know if you stop. You've come too far in your marriage to walk away from it now just because it got tough. You've come too far in your walk with God to turn back to your old life now. In fact, how many of you could tell a story about a time when you almost stopped short? You almost quit something important. You almost gave up. But now, you didn't, and now you're so glad that you didn't. And now you can look back and say, I was faithful, but then God showed Himself to be more faithful than I could ever be. A lot of us have stories like that. Once you've been a Christian for a while, you don't get as impressed by people who have the faith to start something. It's easy to start. But you become very impressed by the people who have the fortitude to finish. I admire people who don't just have the faith to start. You know, anybody can show up at the start. But those who pay the price in perseverance, that's who we want to be. And that's who God wants us to be. In Acts chapter 27, it's a story about the Apostle Paul, who wrote about a third of the New Testament. And we often read his writings, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, Philemon, Thessalonians, on and on. We read all his books, but we don't understand what was behind this man and what he suffered to be able to share all of this with us. In order to share about the depths of the riches of Christ, he first had to experience some personal depths and some pain and disappointment. If you ever see somebody who has great spiritual strength, you can bet that it was born out of some sorrow. Well, in Acts chapter 27, Paul's in trouble. He's in transition and he's in trouble. And by the way, if you're in either of those today, if you're in transition or in trouble, then I want to let you know that's a good place to be, because that's where God does His deepest transformation, when we're in transformation, in transition or in trouble. And Paul was in both. He's on board a ship headed to Rome, and it would be one thing if he was going to Rome on a carnival cruise to see the sights and enjoy the climate, but he's not going to Rome on a luxury cruise. He's going on the ship as a prisoner in chains. And then to make things worse, along the way he runs into an unexpected difficulty that wasn't his fault. Let's pick up the story in verse 9. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Now, if you think about it, that is a no-brainer. Of course they did that. If you were the centurion and you're in charge of these prisoners that you have to get to Rome to stand trial, and you've got the pilot and the owner of the ship saying, it's fine, we can go, no problem. But then there's this preacher on board, and he tells you, I just want to let you know that I've been talking to God, and he told me. Have you noticed that people will tell you some pretty weird stuff, but they'll start it with, the Lord told me. Now that's like the Christian trump card. I can say whatever I want to say, and you're not allowed to disagree because the Lord told me. It's like one time I was sitting in a meeting with some people, and we had a disagreement of opinion, but I was trying to be nice about it. And then they told me that, the Lord told us that you have a demon. And they wanted to cast it out right then. I'm not kidding. This is not just a story. And, I said, yeah, I have had some trouble with demons, but most of them are sitting around the table with me right now. No, I didn't really say that. I wanted to say it, but I didn't. Anyway, this centurion has to make a decision. Let's see now. I can listen to the pilot of the ship, who has like been to nautical school and he's got maps and charts and he knows about sailing ships, or I can listen to the preacher on board who's been arrested. Let's see, that's a tough decision. I think I'll go with the pilot. Now, God was being compassionate. He's speaking through Paul to warn these men and to try and save their lives, but they don't care, they're not listening. In our own lives, so often God is speaking to us, being compassionate, trying to warn us and save us through His Word or through other people. But what do? We listen to the voices of other people. We listen to everybody else's ideas and their opinions and their assessment of the situation. And we look at all the other indicators before we listen to the voice of God. And so, just like the centurion, you and I have to make a decision. Will I steer by my senses, or will I steer by the Spirit? You see, every ship is being steered by something. The ship represents your life. It represents the direction you're headed. It represents the things that God has given you and put in your life. And your life is heading in the direction of whatever is steering it. And a lot of us are like the centurion. Instead of listening to what the voice of God says, because a lot of times, that doesn't make sense to us. And so, instead, we're listening to what our senses say, because that's something we can understand. But did you know it is so common for God to tell people to do things that don't really make sense? And if you live your life only by what makes sense, then you will never become a person of strong faith. If it always has to make sense in your life for you to obey God, then you will never know what it means to really trust Him. It didn't make a bit of sense for Joshua to walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times waiting for the walls to fall down. It didn't make a bit of sense for Moses to stretch out his rod across the sea and expect those waters to divide. It didn't make a bit of sense for David to go up against this giant in armor when all he's got is a slingshot. It didn't make a bit of sense for Jesus to allow men to hang him on the cross and then while he's hanging there to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It didn't make a bit of sense when the stone was rolled away for Jesus to rise up from the grave and then appear to over 500 people. It didn't make a bit of sense for his little group of 12 followers back then to expand to over 2 billion followers today. How are you living your life? Are you living it based on what makes sense? You will never have faith. We get so worried about, oh no, somebody's going to think I'm weird. Or somebody's not going to like me. They're not going to want to be around me. People call me one of those kind of Christians. The truth is, so much of this life doesn't make sense. And if we're always trying to force it to make sense by our own standard, then you'll never walk in faith. I want you to think about the key areas of your life. Are you living according to your senses, what you can calculate? Or are you living according to confidence in God's promises and you let Him do the math even when it doesn't always make sense to you? It's been said that outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. You don't have to understand to obey. You don't have to know where it's going to end up in order to take the next step. And in this passage, we see some men who don't want to obey the word of God, and they keep sailing when they should have stopped. And so we already know it's going to be a disaster, because anytime you ignore God's warning, the winds will be against you. Verse 13, it says, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. Now notice, when they started out, they're headed north, and it says a south wind began to blow, so they had the wind at their backs. It looked perfect. It looked really good. Did you know that sometimes when you ignore God's warnings, it looks really good? And it feels like you're making progress. But even the progress that you think you're making is ultimately leading you to disaster. It looks good for a while. You don't see the consequences now, but they're already on the way. They're just over the horizon waiting to come. Have you been ignoring a warning from God? Jesus said, what good is it for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? What good is it for you to make more money if you have to cut corners to do it and then you don't even like yourself when you look in the mirror? What good is it for you to pile up possessions but not be involved in the things that are important to God? You're going with the wind and it looks good for a little while, but it won't last if you ignore the warnings of God. It says they were driven along. Doesn't that describe so many of us? Driven along. Things start to get out of control in our lives, and so we're just going with the flow, even though it's not a good direction. Verse 16, it says, as we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Sirtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. There's that phrase again, driven along. I wonder how many of us here this morning are being driven along because we've ignored the warnings of God. And at first things looked really good, and so you ignored the warnings, and then the consequences started to kick in, and now you're being driven along. And I could stop right here, and I could mention some of the warnings that you've ignored, but you know what? I don't have to, because that's what the Spirit of God does. He doesn't threaten you. He doesn't condemn you, but He calls you with a gentle whisper. And He says, you need to pay more attention here. You need to go back to doing the things that you used to do. You need to put your heart back into this because you've lost your passion. You've lost your intensity. You've lost your focus. You've lost your first love. And so now you're being driven along. Verse 18, it says, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. So it's getting worse and worse. And this describes what some people's lives look like right now, where you're driven along, you've been caught in a storm, it's not working, and so you're trying this and trying that. You're thrown overboard the ship's cargo, and it's still not helping, and the problems and the trials and the storms keep coming, many of which you created yourself. Verse 19, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging. Have you ever been in a situation when the storm just continues raging and you're thinking, when is this going to end? When am I going to get past this in my life? But the storm continues raging. It says, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Up this point, they'd been fighting. They're thrown over the cargo. They're thrown over the board. The ship's tackle. Anything they can do. But finally, they give up hope. And maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you've given up hope that it'll ever be any different. You're thinking, that's just how it is. I'm always going to be depressed. I'm always going to be overweight. I'm always going to have these health problems. I'm always going to be lonely. That's just how it is. I'm always going to be bitter. I'm always going going to have that habit or addiction. I'll never get over it. That's just how it is. You're driven along. They gave up hope. He says, neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. It got so dark out there. As long as they could see something to direct them, they kept trying, and even though they were taking a beating, but eventually, he says, we lost our guiding light, and when we lost our light, we gave up hope. And now we're just drifting. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning, you're just drifting. And you hear God saying to you, yeah, that's you. You're drifting. Verse 21 says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them. And I believe that's what God wants me to do for you this morning, is to stand up before you and say to all of you who have been driven along, you may have lost some time. You may have lost some money. You may have lost some opportunities. You may have lost some people. You may have lost some relationships. You may have lost some peace. But it's not too late. It's not too late. God hasn't given up on you. Paul stood up before them and said, man, you should have taken my advice. And I love that. You know, you should have taken my advice. Some of you guys are thinking right now, wow, I'm so confused. I didn't even know the Apostle Paul was a woman. You should have taken my advice. I'm just joking, sort of. Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now, and I have to stop on that because those are maybe the two most important words in the whole story. But now, do you know how important those words are in your life? But now, I can't do anything about the way I screwed up the past. But now, I can't do anything about the decisions I made, you know, when I was a teenager. I can't even do anything about the decisions I made last week. But now, there's some things I could change. I wish I could change. You know, there's some things I'd do over if I could. Unfortunately, it's too late for that. But now, you know who Paul sounds like here? He sounds like Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died, and then, you know, they see Jesus come and they go to see him, and you know, and they say, our brother Lazarus wouldn't have died if you'd been here. But even now, you see, they knew that even though it looked hopeless, it wasn't over yet. But now, we serve a right now God. Not a pie in the sky, by and by, when I die, God. A right now God who has the power to rescue us from any situation, no matter how hopeless it looks, no matter how hopeless it is. We serve a God who says in His Word that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Paul says, I can't see the stars. I can't see the dry land. I can't see the end of this storm, but I still have faith in what cannot be seen. Paul says, I forget what's behind me. I reach toward what's ahead. But now, we're not going to put off obeying any longer. We're not going to keep drifting even one more day. The right time to do the right thing is right now. Paul says, but now, I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Not one of you will be lost. God's mercy is so great, even when we don't deserve it. Sometimes you hear people say things like, you know, if God gets you into a situation, then He'll get you out. And that's great. I love that. But what if He didn't get me into the situation? What if I got myself into the situation by my own dumb decisions? The good news is God says, I'll still come looking for you. I'll still come get you out. I'll still save you. I'll still love you. I'll still call you by name. I'll still accept you. I'll still love you. I'll still use you. Paul said, not one of you will be lost. But about this boat, it's not looking good for the boat. He says, only the ship will be destroyed. Let me ask you, is that good news or bad news? Well, I guess it depends on your perspective, right? If what you care about most is the boat, then when the boat goes down, your hope goes with it. But Paul said, keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Sometimes we put our hope in how we want God to do something. Sometimes our hope is in our plan for how we want to get where we think God wants to take us. But if your hope is in your plan, then when your plan is interrupted, your faith fails. And the truth is, we all have our own plans, don't we? I thought that person would never leave me. I thought I'd be farther along by now. I thought I'd get into that university. I thought I would get that job. I thought I was going to marry him. Are you so focused on your plan for how it was supposed to happen that you're missing the way God wants to bring it about? And that's what Paul's trying to get these men to see. He says, we're not going to get there in the boat. I know that was your plan. Hey, I thought that was my plan too, but that's not how God's going to do it. There is no hope left for the boat. And in your life, there are some things that are never going to be the way they were. That boat has sunk. You can't rewind. You can't do it over. But Paul says in verse 23, last night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage. I believe that's God's word for you this morning. Keep up your courage. The boat might be going down, but keep your courage up. Your bank account might be going down, but keep up your courage. Sometimes the only thing that you have control of is your courage. Your conditions are not always in your control. You don't always get to decide what kind of weather you have or what kind of seas you're going to sail on, but you do have control of your courage. Now, some of you have lost your courage. You've lost your confidence. You've lost your hope. You've lost your joy. You want to know why you've lost it? It's because all your hope was in that boat. All your hope was in those circumstances. God says, sometimes I got to break your boat so that your hope floats to the surface. And I'm going to rescue you, but it's not going to be in the way that you thought it would happen. And so Paul says, keep up your courage. Keep up your courage, Vineyard. Keep up your courage, single mom. Keep up your courage, even though your company is laying people off. Keep up your courage, even though you didn't want the divorce. Even when everything else looks like it's going down, keep up your courage. He says, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. It will happen. God's purpose will be fulfilled. He hasn't left me. He's still standing with me. My hope is not in the boat. My hope is in Jesus Christ, who, guess what? He doesn't need a boat. He walks on the water just fine without one. So Paul says, it will happen. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. And in verse 41, it tells us, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Are you putting your hope in the way that you want God to do it? Or are you putting your faith in the God who says he will do it and trusting him to do it any way he sees fit? He said he'd provide for you. He didn't say how he would do it. Do you trust him? He said that he'd be there for you, but he didn't always say that you would feel it. He said that he would meet all of your needs, but he didn't promise to give you everything you want. Do you trust him? God's word to you this morning is that it will happen. It might take longer than you wanted, and it might look a little different than you thought it would, but if God spoke it, it will happen. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God finishes what he starts. God is the one who started the work in your life. He will finish it. He will carry it on to completion. Paul said, God is the one who started this. God's the one who let me get onto the ship. He's the one who let me end up in chains. I always wanted to go to Rome. I didn't think I'd go there in chains. But if God put me on the ship, he has a purpose for me being here. And if I have to float to shore on pieces of wreckage, if I have to do the backstroke or dog paddle or whatever it takes, I'm going to do it because God is still working. And so I'm going to keep going. God is still working, so I am not going to quit. God is still working, so I'm going to persevere, and I'm not going to stop short because I know that God's got a plan, and it will happen. Let's stand for prayer, and I'd like the worship band to come up for closing song. And as we bow together, I believe there's someone here this morning, and you're in the middle of a storm in your life, and it's been so rough and so difficult. Maybe you've started to despair. And maybe you're drifting along without direction. Maybe you've even given up hope. At one time, you felt like you had a stronger relationship with God, but now you feel like you're just drifting. You've done everything you know to do, but still you're in the storm, and you're not sure what to do. Let me pray for you right now. God, you have brought each one of us to this place so that you can show us your love and your mercy and your grace that's been there all along. And God, thank you for your power. Thank you that you raise us up into newness of life. And so, God, we're reaching out to you today. Would you come to us in the storm, and would you rescue us and give us direction and stop us from drifting and help us to trust completely in you? We thank you that as we follow you, your will and your promise for our life will happen in your time, in your way. Thank you, Lord. Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all blown it. We've all done wrong, gone the wrong way at times. And I believe there's someone here this morning that God has let a storm come into your life and let your boat get broken apart just so that you could experience a relationship with him, the one who created the waters, the one who gave you life. He didn't bring you here to leave you. He brought you here to rescue you and to show you his love. And if that's you today, if you'd like to begin a relationship with God, just pray along with me in your heart. God will hear you. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Today I give my life to Jesus. I put my hope in him. I believe that he died to forgive my sin. And I believe on the third day he rose again to give me new life. So I want to follow you as best I know how for the rest of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.